Hello and welcome to this British Journal of Surgery podcast. I'm Wendy Barnaby and today we'll be hearing about the use of antiseptics in surgery. At least 5% of patients develop a surgical site infection after surgery. In fact, these infections amount to about a fifth of all healthcare-associated infections. And the result is that patients have longer stays in hospital, they suffer increased mortality, and of course the costs for the health system are higher. Now, the November issue of the BJS has a selection of articles on what we know about surgical site infections and what we can do about them. And our first guest today is Professor David Leeper from the Department of Wound Healing at Cardiff University. David, you've written a leader article on surgical site infections in which you point out that the use of antiseptics has fallen from grace in recent years, but you argue that we should reconsider them for more widespread use in surgery now. So how have we got to this point?
Well, I won't say they've fallen from grace, but I think they've rather been neglected. And as you've said, surgical site infection is common. And I think of the healthcare-associated infections, it's been the least studied, really. And I think people are just now coming round to the fact that SSIs are commoner than thought. They do cost healthcare systems a lot of money. And maybe it's time to revisit things. And this is against the background of antibiotic resistance and emergence, which is a serious problem because the new antibiotics that are coming along are few in number and very low down the scale of being introduced into clinical practice. So we've really got to look after those antibiotics with good stewardship. And I think it's time maybe to just revisit the antiseptics and think, could we use them a little bit more to be a bit more effective in preventing SSIs?
Yes, you talk about antibiotics. How important are they, for example, antibiotics and surgical technique in comparison with antiseptics?
Oh, now there's a $64,000 question. I think surgical technique, let's talk about that first. It's something a lot of surgeons talk about, particularly my plastic surgical colleagues, and I accept that. I think some surgeons are naturally good, and I think some surgeons have to learn the trade. And there is little doubt that some surgeons do seem to have higher SSI rates than others. But it's very hard to pin the cause of that on technique. And for sure, surgeons who are quite slick and quick, judging by many studies, have shown that a quick surgeon, a fast operation done well, has a lower SSI rate, which is interesting. Long operations tend to carry more risk of SSI. Now, antibiotics have sort of come in around the 1940 time, and there's no question they've been a major value to development of medicine. And there's no doubt we can now control infections and save lives like we could never dream of doing 100 years ago. Sadly, they've been rather overused, and I think we've learnt the hard way, again and again, without learning from the past, that there is now a problem with resistance, and there's not the antibiotics to keep filling the places. And I think there's a tendency to use antibiotics for sometimes the wrong reasons. A post-operative patient with a temperature will tend to get an antibiotic, rather than looking for the cause of the antibiotic and waiting and seeing. And I think this is reflected, for instance, in primary care, where there's been this massive drive to say to our general practitioners, stop using antibiotics for sore throats, because it's not necessary and it's driving resistance. And I think one of the things we've looked at now is, could we think about going back to the antiseptics? Because there's no risk of resistance with antiseptics. And there's not likely to be. They've been around a not longer time. And I think there's a lot of places in the surgical scenario, in post, intra and preoperative care, that antiseptics could be used more and more effectively.
Right. Well, thank you very much for the moment, David. Let's turn to Mr. Stuart Walsh from the Department of Surgery at Addenbrooke's Hospital in Cambridge. Now, Stuart, you and your colleagues have written an article called Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis of Preoperative Antisepsis with Chlorhexidine versus Povidone Iodine in Clean Contaminated Surgery. So you analysed clinical trials which have been carried out to see which of these two antiseptics is better for cleaning the skin before surgery. Now, your paper suggests that chlorhexidine should be used. How strong is the evidence for that?
Thanks very much, Wendy. I think the evidence is reasonably strong from our systematic review. We were able to identify six relevant studies. Five of those were randomised trials, and there was one sequential trial design which wasn't technically randomised. But the six studies between them had over 5,000 patients, so it's quite a large cohort to analyse. And they were all being subjected to sort of clean contamination or contaminated procedures, so laparotomies, hysterectomies, those sorts of procedures. And we found that the overall surgical site infection was reduced by chlorhexidine. It was about 8% when the skin preparation was performed with povidone iodine, and it was 5.7% with chlorhexidine. So that was a statistically significant reduction. And there was no statistical evidence that the studies couldn't be combined, so there was no heterogeneity, at least statistically. Now, when we omitted or excluded the only non-randomised study from our analysis, those results persisted. And so this article then, by combining these randomised controlled trials, can provide level 1A evidence that chlorhexidine is your preferred option for skin preparation in clean contaminated surgery. And you do have to accept that some of these studies are old, and surgical site infection rate of 8% would be considered high in some units. And given the small number of studies, we weren't really able to investigate other potential factors which we've already heard about from Professor Lieber, such as antibiotic use and duration of surgery.
No, no. But it, obviously your results about chlorhexidine do seem to be very persuasive. So, I mean, what would you say to someone who still uses iodine solutions for skin preparation?
Yeah, I've been asked that question on the corridor a few times recently. But I think given the results of our systematic review, I think people who are still using povidone iodine for skin preparation in clean contaminated surgery are going to have to accept that the evidence as it stands doesn't support that practice, and that, you know, they could prevent one patient in 50 potentially from having a surgical site infection if they changed from using the brown solution to the pink solution.
I mean, as you've been stressing, your review looks at clean contaminated and contaminated surgery. Can you extrapolate it to clean surgery in which there are fewer bacteria involved?
I don't think that you can. Obviously, assessing the correct skin preparation to use in clean surgery is difficult because, mercifully, surgical site infection following clean surgery, such as orthopaedic surgery, is an extremely rare event. And so the few studies that have been very underpowered to draw any conclusions. The Cochrane collaboration considered this topic a few years ago, and fairly unsurprisingly, they found there was insufficient evidence to justify a recommendation. Our particular paper looked at a different issue, which is clean contamination procedures, and I don't think you can extrapolate to clean surgery, where you're likely to be encountering a slightly different spectrum of microorganisms.
Right. Stuart, I just want to ask you about another BJS paper, and that's one by Dr. Isabel Fournel and her colleagues at the Hygiene and Epidemiology Unit at the Hôpital du Bocage in Dijon, and that's entitled Meta-Analysis of Intraoperative Povidone Iodine Application to Prevent Surgical Site Infection. And these authors wanted to see whether it's best to wash out wounds with povidone iodine or without any antiseptic, and they did a meta-analysis of clinical trials to find out. Could you summarise their results, please?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, this was a very interesting paper that looked at a complementary issue. Our paper considered preoperative preparation, and Isabel and her colleagues looked at your options towards the end of the procedure, just before you finish. And they, as you say, they compared povidone iodine irrigation to either no irrigation at all or saline irrigation. Interestingly, they identified a similar number of patients to us at just over 5,000, but they had a larger number of trials. There was 24 trials, almost all of which were in abdominal surgery. I think there was three were in either clean surgery, such as spinal or orthopaedic surgery. So similar numbers of patients, but the greater number of trials did allow them to undertake some subgroup and sensitivity analyses that we couldn't tackle. They were able to restrict their main analysis to 15 of the trials whose methodology was better, if you like, was reported in greater detail. And so their main analysis was based on just over 3,000 patients. And they found that washing out with povidone iodine, either just after wound, just before wound closure, just after wound closure, reduced, again, surgical site infection by about 5% overall, from 13% down to 8%. There was some evidence statistically of heterogeneity, so there was some evidence that the trials were slightly different in design, slightly different in outcomes, which you, to be honest, would expect with that number of trials being combined. When they undertook a sensitivity analysis, so when they just restricted their analysis to patients having abdominal surgery, it was interesting that, again, the reduction in surgical site infection persisted with about a 4% reduction. And this time there was no evidence of heterogeneity, so statistically the trials were, you know, acceptable to be combined. And when they looked at the timing of the irrigation, so whether irrigating just before wound closure, just after wound closure, and when they considered the age of the trial, so how long ago the trial was undertaken, the results all persisted. So I think this paper actually provides very convincing evidence that povidone iodine irrigation reduces surgical site infection. Based on this, I think you would have a strong argument to say it should be routine practice, certainly in general surgery.
Yes. Now, I mean, as you said, most of the patients in the trials that they considered were having some sort of abdominal surgery, but there were some having general surgery, neurosurgery, gynecological, orthopedic surgery. Does the trial convince you then of the role of antiseptic lavage in surgery generally?
Yes, to be honest, I think when you have, you know, almost 5,000 patients being included in a meta-analysis, you have considerable power. And in that situation, some people will argue that you have a mixture of different types of surgery and you can't apply the findings to such a generalized cohort. But you can make the counter-argument, which tends to be the argument I support, that ideally with these interventions you want them to be applicable to a broad range of situations. And so Isabel and her colleagues have provided evidence that in the generality of surgery, with the available evidence, would suggest that povidone iodine irrigation prevents surgical site infection. So, you know, certainly the paper convinces me that it should have general application in surgery. Yeah.
Right. Now, of course, they didn't consider chlorhexidine. Are there specific reasons why you should not use chlorhexidine in this general application?
Isabel and her colleagues, again, they did explain this in their paper, and it's very simply for the reason that the manufacturers of chlorhexidine recommend that it shouldn't be applied to mucosal surfaces, so it shouldn't be applied within the abdomen, it shouldn't be applied to the peritoneum, it shouldn't be, there shouldn't be a risk of exposure to, freshly sutured intestine, that sort of thing. So on that basis, then chlorhexidine really shouldn't be used for wound irrigation.
Well, thank you, Stuart, very much indeed. David, if I could just come back to you, considering all of these papers, what do you think is the optimal use of antiseptic agents in surgery?
Well, I think it's absolutely great that the British Journal of Surgery has had these papers come at a more or less the same time and be able to publish them all together. And of course, I've been delighted to write an editorial. And I agree entirely with what's been said before me, particularly by Stuart. We did look at all these papers, interestingly, when I chaired the guideline development group for the NICE guideline on surgical site infection. We found it very hard to come off the fence, I have to say. Since those guidelines were written, there's been a very good paper looking at chlorhexidine in alcohol for skin prep, which is really quite convincing that it should be used. And I agree with Stuart that the povidone iodine papers are all very old, But it's kind of going back to old-fashioned Listerian principles where you're splashing around an antiseptic whilst you're actually in the operation, just as Lister did with his phenol spray. Now, the papers are old and they're very badly powered often, but I think there's a definite way forward there. And I think these two meta-analyses are really very good, and I think there is a clear way. And I hope NICE will revisit the SSI guidelines. It's time they did, with the view of another publication 4 years on from 2008. And I think the recommendations would be exactly as Stuart has said, that, you know, chlorhexidine probably has the edge over povidone iodine for skin preparation. But we should be considering using povidone iodine intra wounds and intraperitoneally for washouts and as an antiseptic. But, you know, not every country allows povidone iodine a license for washing out in tissues. And chlorhexidine is generally not used because it does have toxic effects on tissues. But maybe even this needs to be revisited. But, we need a lot of multi-help here. I think the pharmacists will have something to say about this. But, I think this is a real advance. I don't really think more research is needed here. I think you were mentioning earlier, could this apply to orthopaedic surgery? And I think to show a difference in orthopaedic surgery, we need thousands of patients. And I'm not sure at the end of the day whether it would be very convincing, even if it was well-powered and showed a difference. But I think the surrogates from these meta-analyses are saying that all operations are probably protected by using the appropriate skin prep, which appears to be the best is chlorhexidine and alcohol. And maybe we should go back to wound lavage with an antiseptic like povidone. But I think, you know, the regulatory authorities need to respond to that and maybe help us revisit that.
Well, let's hear now about some results from Kenya from Professor Stefan Harbath. Stefan is at the Infection Control Program at the University of Geneva Hospitals. He's co-authored a paper called Cluster Randomized Crossover Trial of the Efficacy of Plain Soap and Water versus Alcohol-Based Rub for Surgical Hand Preparation in a Rural Hospital in Kenya. So, Stefan, you're based in Geneva, and yet your work is in developing countries. So could you tell us how that has come about and what the Infection Control Program does?
It's based on an initiative that we have started 5 years ago together with WHO. So we are now a WHO reference center, and we have contacts throughout the world, and that's why we got in touch with these colleagues from a rural hospital in Kenya, and we were able to start this study, which received a small-scale fund from a Swiss research foundation.
So the trial we're talking about here was one where you compared the different ways that surgeons prepared their hands before operating to see which one was associated with less surgical site infection. And the surgeons used either plain soap and water or an alcohol-based hand rub. What did you find?
So in this study, which included quite a large cohort of studies, more than 3,300 patients who underwent clean or clean contaminated surgery, we found that there was no difference in surgical site infection rates in both treatment arms. They were around 8%, and this was quite surprising to us.
Why were you surprised by the result?
We were surprised for three reasons. First, we have to underline that the post-discharge surveillance rate of this study was outstanding. More than 95% of the patients were reached by cell phones in rural Kenya to know if they, by day 30, they had developed a surgical site infection. Second point, we found a rather low surgical site infection rate. Our prior hypothesis when we started the study was that it would be rather around 15%. So that means that in this rural hospital that is affiliated to a church, the visiting surgeons, probably they were excellent. And so the overall surgical site infection rate was rather low. And third reason why we were surprised is that there was no difference in between the two arms. So our a priori hypothesis was that there should have been, or that we expected a decreased rate of infections in the arm using alcohol-based hand rubs.
You say that the surgical site infection rate was much lower than you were expecting. What was it, in fact?
What we found was an infection rate of about 8%, around 8%, which is still higher than in most high-income countries. But if you compare it to very low-income countries, resource-poor settings, normally you would expect rates above 10%. So that means that overall the quality of surgery in this setting was quite good. And then also what we found, that probably there are other more important factors that contribute to the development of surgical site infections in this setting, like, for instance, duration of surgery, wound contamination, other factors, for instance, adequacy of surgical perioperative prophylaxis, the quality of outpatient care, and that's finally the question of the surgical hand preparation is maybe a minor issue in this kind of setting.
And presumably it is important for surgeons in this setting to have access to alcohol-based hand rub, because after all, you can't guarantee a continuous supply of water.
That's correct, especially in Kenya. Shortly after the end of the study, they had some shortages of water supply. Then there were also some riots, as you may remember. They were in this area, so they had huge problems just to get the most basic supply of water and soap, and they were very happy to go back to these alcohol-based hand rubs, which are feasible in the setting. The local production is feasible. It's affordable. It's just slightly more expensive than the water and plain soap supply, but then also they don't need the sterile towels and all this additional supply. So at the end, that's what they're using now at the moment.
Do you think that these results, Stefan, have implications for surgery in Western countries?
Not really. I think that there is no single surgical department in high-income countries in Europe or North America that use plain soap and water for surgical hand preparation. Nevertheless, I think there is still some useful lesson to be learned, that you can do very good high-quality research in very resource-poor settings. So I think the study by itself, its design, its conduct may show that we should be maybe a little bit more ambitious in our own research in high-income countries, and I think that we should repeat these kind of studies in Europe or North America. But then, of course, we would not use plain soap and water. We would use medicated antiseptic soaps.
Thank you, Stefan, very much. David Leeper, could we come back to you finally? Could you sum up where we are with antiseptics and reducing surgical site infection?
Yes, I mean, first of all, can I say I thought Stefan's paper was tremendous. It just goes to show you, you know, that third world countries can do research which is a first class presentation, you know, and I think there's something to be said for this. He himself said perhaps Europe and North America could repeat this. Why not? You know, I see no reason why not. There is a huge interest in surgical site infection now, and I think more and more trusts have got very good surveillance systems in place. People are using the definitions of surgical site infection much, much better and applying them. So, you know, maybe there is a place for some further research, but I'm not sure that we know how to wash our hands before surgery. I think the evidence that an antiseptic solution to wash your hands is better than soap and water is lacking. So maybe there is a place for some research there. That's certainly what we said in the NICE guidelines, that there was no clear, strong evidence to suggest that anything was better than a good soap and water wash before surgery.
Well, thank you very much, David, and thanks to everybody who's taken part. And that's all from this podcast. Goodbye.